we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in death, we will certainly also be united with him in resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you may obey its evil desires. May the Lord bless the hearing and the reading of his word. Amen. Please be seated.
Jim told you last week to go home this week and find your joy. Did you find your joy? Did you see your puppy dance? Today I want to talk to you about a gift that keeps on giving. And I quote to you from John 1, 1 through 2 from the Living Bible. Before anything else existed, there was Christ with God. He has always been alive and is himself God. Now, thinking back on that, I'd like to use a dialogue back and forth between Jesus and God. Jesus. Okay, Dad, I do understand you're angry. Angry at the very people you created. Yes, they may look like you. That's the way you made them. But you've got to get over this. And God. But son, I gave them everything. My very breath brought them into existence. They became living, breathing individuals. And all I wanted for them was to love me as much as I love them. I walked with them in the garden. We talked every day. They were excited about naming the animals and getting to see them. Jesus. Dad, you created them with your own hands, but you did give them free will. Free will to do what they wanted and how they wanted to do things. God, all I wanted was a loving relationship with him. I wanted us to share in that relationship. I wanted them to get to know me, to know who I was, and that I loved them so much that I brought them into the world. And Jesus, Dad, I've got an idea that might make this right again. God, but I gave them a garden with everything in it, good for them. The garden provided for all their needs. And after I created Adam, I saw how lonesome he was. So I made him a helpmate, a woman to look after him. I told them not to eat from the tree of knowledge, the tree of good and evil. Jesus, yes, and they didn't follow you. God, I gave them an alternative. It had consequences. If they did eat from it, they would surely die. I'm their father. I wanted them to grow old in Eden. Instead, I have to punish them as I said I would. I have to let them die. And Jesus, Dad, I can take their punishment. Let me be their sin offering. No more sacrifices. I'm willing to die for them, to take on their punishment. Will that satisfy you? Will your wrath be satisfied? God, Son, why would you do this for them? Because I love you. Because I love them too. And because I understand that you have to keep your word. God, son, it won't be easy. It will be painful and agonizing and brutal. Are you sure you want to do it for these people? Jesus, yeah, I'm absolutely sure. And this is grace. It cannot be bought or sold. We didn't do anything to earn it. Our scripture today said that through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. The definition of atonement is the reconciliation between God and man affected by Christ. It is the result of God's love and his faithfulness. And it's the fear of the Lord that motivates us to turn away from sin when we're tempted. There are many parts to grace, but this morning I just want to talk about three. The first one I just mentioned is called prevenient grace. And this big word means coming before or occurring in advance of something. It is God's love pursuing us, awakening us. We have a choice. We can accept this love, this part of grace, and move forward to participate in this unconditional relationship. Remember, I said it is free. It costs nothing. Or we can walk blindly through life, never to know this amazing Father who loves us and wants us to get to know him on a more personal level. Because of our sin, we find ourselves separated from God. We need to be saved. How do we get this salvation? How is it provided? How is it gained? What are its benefits and its blessings? Salvation is provided by God himself. It comes through the sacrificial death of his Son, Jesus Christ. There is no other way a man can be saved from eternal condemnation and into eternal life, Acts 4:12. As I go through this morning, I'm going to give you several Bible verses that I had to look up before writing this sermon. I hope they mean something to you. Christ's death was a substitution for what should have been the death of sinners, our death. In Genesis 3:15, we read about the descendant of God, who is Christ Jesus. Paraphrased, Christ will deal a death blow to Satan's head at the cross. The word used in this verse is enmity, and it means enemy. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. Then in Christ we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Christ made the payment of our sin, and this is called the doctrine of redemption. This New Testament word demanded that someone had to pay the price for our sin so we could be redeemed. Christ not only paid the price for our sin, but he also removed us from the slave market of sin. We were given full assurance that we will never be returned to the bondage and penalties of sin again. It set us free because Christ became our substitute. 1 Timothy 2:6 explains it this way. God is on one side. The people are on the other side. Christ Jesus, man, is the bridge who stands in the middle to bring us together again. Christ became the high priest of this better system, which we now have. He went into the perfect tabernacle in heaven and once for all took blood into that inner room, the Holy of Holies, and sprinkled it on the mercy seat. His own blood, and he himself made sure of our salvation. The blood of Christ, Hebrews 9:11 through 12. It intended to purify us. Now follow this thought with the promise in Titus 2:14. He died under God's judgment against our sins so that he could rescue us from constant falling into sin and to make us his very own people with cleansed hearts and enthusiasm for doing good works for others. To summarize, Redemption means because Christ shed his blood for believers, we have been purchased, we have been removed from bondage, and we have been liberated. Man's relationship with God has changed through this act of Christ. We are now able to be saved. Our sins were poured into Christ, and in exchange, he poured God's goodness into us. 2 Corinthians 5:19 through 20. This is the message that we as ambassadors are to tell the world. Now here's another big word, propitiation. It means to appease or satisfy a god. God was angry with mankind because of our sin. Christ's death satisfied God's wrath. It enabled him to receive into his family those who placed their faith in him. Before Jesus went to the cross, man was not sure his sacrifice at the temple would satisfy God. Today we know that Christ is the perfect sacrifice. If not, we would still have to bring our doves and our yearlings to the altar and hope that they were blemish-free and that they satisfied our atonement for the payment of our sin. A few weeks ago, we watched Reverend Katie perform a baptism with her nephew. This water baptism, while standing in the midst of witnesses, confirms that we are making a change to follow Christ. If our parents had us baptized, they are making this statement until we make it for ourselves. John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, baptized with water. On the day that Jesus came to him to be baptized, John spoke to the Pharisees, saying, "Right here in the crowd is a man you have never met, a man who will begin his ministry and do it soon. I'm not even fit to be his slave. He who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." A water baptism could not accomplish separation of sin over the Christian's life, their life to live as a member of Christ's family. Only when we ask, invite Christ into our lives, our acceptance to follow him makes our sin nature ineffective. Sin will never be able to regain the same domination and hold it had on us before our conversion. In Romans 10:4, we are reminded that Christ is the end of the Mosaic law. Now there is righteousness for everyone who believes, not just the Jews. God made us alive in Christ. He forgave us for all our sin. He canceled the written code with its regulations which stood against us and opposed us. He took it away and it was nailed to the cross. God told the Israelites to remember the day that he took them out of Egypt and the bondage that they lived under. They still celebrate Passover. He told them to tell it to their children for generations to come. Christ told us to remember him and the cost he paid for our sins by taking Holy Communion. "Take, eat, this is my body that was shed for you. Likewise, take, drink, this is my blood that was shed for you and for many. Do this in remembrance of me." The important words here are justification and sanctification. If a man was to be justified, another way had to be provided. Romans 3:20. The Old Testament law showed a man his need to search for the Savior, but it could not provide the answer. Galatians 3:23 through 25. So Christ's death provided justification by faith in Christ alone. The blood of Christ is the basis for our continued cleansing from sin. It cleanses us from every sin. 1 John 1:7. The death of Christ provides constant cleansing. Our family fellowship is restored by our confession. We have been made justified, acceptable before God, because Jesus Christ's death made it so. Just listen to this list of gifts Christ has given to us and continues to give. We are redeemed, Romans 3:24. We have been reconciled, 2 Corinthians 5:19 through 21. We've been forgiven, Romans 3:25. We've been delivered, Colossians 1:13. We've been accepted by God, Ephesians 1:6. We've been assured of future glorification, Romans 8:30. And we've been justified, Romans 3:24. Justified means that we have been declared righteous, acquitted with no condemnation. The claims against us according to God's law have been fully satisfied. Our justification could never be based on our good works because God requires perfect obedience. That's impossible for man. The means of justification is faith. It's the channel which God's grace can impute. Another big word. This one means charged to. God's grace, a channel where God's grace can be charged to believing sinners, this righteousness of God. When we believe all that Christ is, it is put to our account, and we stand acquitted and justified. Then, as believers, Paul says, we are adopted as sons and daughters into God's family. When families like the Milners and the Guevaras adopted their children, they came into those families with full privileges and responsibilities in that new relationship. We, as children of God, have full privileges in our new family of God also. Now that we are justified, next comes sanctification. This word sanctify means to set apart, and it's the same root words as saint and holy. Set apart as a believer in the family of God. 1 Corinthians 6:11. This sanctification is based on the death of Christ. Hebrews 10:10. But there is more involved. 1 Peter 1:14 through 16 tells us not to be conformed to our evil desires when we lived in ignorance. But just as we were called to be holy in all we do. Be holy because our Father, our God, is holy. Make an honest effort. Our spiritual growth is moving us in that direction. We are being perfected until the day when we will see Christ and become as he is. 1 John 3:1 through 3. It isn't hard. It's a process. Out there this morning, I see Christians who came here to worship God. We are children of God's family, being perfected until our glorification, the gift that keeps on giving. Now let the people of God say amen. Amen. Amen.